This is the one-stop FPL podcast. Hello and welcome back to another episode of One Stop FPL with me, your host, Andy Johnson. On the show today, we will cast our minds back to before the international break and we'll review game week 12 and I'll run through all the key performers and results and give you my start and flop of the week. And then it's game week 13. We'll run through the fixture list and I'll talk some informed players with good fixtures. We'll talk potential transfers in and out, captaincy, differentials, and as always, we'll finish off with my likely team ahead of game week 13. So let's get into it. Right then, welcome back everyone. FPL is back. The international break is finally over. And we can turn our attentions back to the Premier League. But before we look ahead to game week 13, let's cast our minds back and just remind ourselves of what happened in game week 12 in terms of FPL. So, Wolves 2, Spurs 1. Spurs hanging on to that 1-0 lead right up until the 90th minute. And then two goals in injury time from Wolves gave them the win. Lamina and Sarabia getting the goals for Wolves. Assists from Sarabia and Cunha. And Spurs' goal came from Brennan Johnson, who seems to have locked down that starting place on the left-hand side, probably for the foreseeable, especially with Richarlison out injured as well. Pedro Porro with the assist for Spurs. He continues to be the Spurs defender with the best underlying stats for attacking returns. Arsenal 3, Burnley 1. Goals from Saliba, Trossard and Zinchenko. Assists from Saka and Trossard, with Burnley's goal coming from Brownhill. Arsenal also starting with a front three of Saka, Trossard and Martinelli. But with both Nketiah and Jesus back as options now, we'll likely see some rotation across that front three attack for Arsenal. Crystal Palace 2, Everton 3. Goals for Palace from Edouard and Eze with an assist from Lerma. And the goals for Everton came from Doucouré, Idrissa Gueye and Mikalenko, who has back-to-back returns. And assists from Doucouré, Mikalenko and Harrison. Everton certainly starting to find some improved form and good attacking returns starting to come from them as well. Manchester United 1, Luton 0. Again, an underwhelming performance from Manchester United, but eventually grinding out the victory. The goal came from Lindelof. Bournemouth 2, Newcastle 0. And a surprise victory for Bournemouth here, but perhaps not too surprising given Newcastle's growing injury list and the fixture congestion, resulting in a pretty lethargic performance away down on the south coast. Dominic Solanke getting both goals for Bournemouth. Definitely a side on the up, Bournemouth. Their improved form could see a few FPL managers looking at Solanke as a second or third choice attacker. Aston Villa 3, Fulham 1. Goals from McGinn and Watkins and a Robinson own goal giving Villa the victory. Assists for Bailey and Diaby. Raul Jimenez getting his first goal for Fulham. That was the consolation. Robinson, as well as that own goal, got himself an assist. Brighton 1, Sheffield United 1. A goal for Adingra. He had looked promising as one of the budget fifth choice midfielders for many FPL managers. Finally getting a return for Brighton. The assist from Buonanotte. Sheffield United's goal came by way of a Webster own goal. Bogle getting the assist. Liverpool 3, Brentford 0. Two goals for Mo Salah and a goal for Diogo Jota. Assists, two for Tsimikas and one for Darwin Nunez. A 16-point return for Mo Salah and an impressive 15-point return from Tsimikas. West Ham 3, Nottingham Forest 2. Goals for the Hammers from Bowen, Pakatar and Suchek. James Ward-Prowse with two assists. And Forest goals came from Elanga and Awonyi, with assists from Morgan Gibbs-White and Aina. And finally, rounding off game week 12, we had an absolute barnstormer of a game. Chelsea 4, Manchester City 4. Not too many expecting that scoreline. But the four goals from four different goal scorers for Chelsea: Nicholas Jackson, Raheem Sterling, Thiago Silva and Cole Palmer. Two assists for Conor Gallagher, one for Brozier and one for Reece James. And City's goals, two for Erling Haaland, one for Akanji and one for Rodri, with assists for Alvarez, Bernardo and Haaland. So great FPL returns from both sides, a really high scoring game and a 16 point haul from the majority of people's captain, Erling Haaland. Right then, time for star and flop of the week. Star of the week first, and an honourable mention should go to Tsimikas at Liverpool for his 15-point return. Few people had benched Tsimikas after being uncertain as to whether or not he would start or not. But for those that kept the faith or were very fortuitous with him coming off their bench and getting the points, the 15-point haul is very impressive indeed. A 15-point haul from the Greek left-back is very impressive indeed. However, the two top point scorers for Game Week 12 were Erling Haaland and Mo Salah. Both very impressive. Salah with the 3 bonus points and 2 goals, giving him 16 points. But just edging him to Star of the Week this week is Erling Haaland. A 16-point return made up of 2 goals and an assist. And perhaps in the more difficult fixture of the two, away at an improving Chelsea side, earns him Star of the Week. And as for flop of the week, a couple of frustrating performances from Manchester United players Rashford and Bruno Fernandes. For any owners of those two, their 3-point returns each will have been quite frustrating, as on paper, this was the best game week of the season at home against Luton and they both blanked. So very frustrating for them. It was also an incredibly frustrating game week for Heung-Min Son owners. He looked extremely isolated, leading the line for Spurs. Not much link-up play with the midfield, and that's probably down to James Maddison's absence. So that is a slight concern between now and the new year, which is when we're expecting Maddison back on the pitch. And his XGI, his expected goal involvement, was actually the lowest it's been in a match since the opening day of the season. So definitely something to keep an eye on and see if that form of Son's does continue to drop off. But whilst his 2-point return in Game Week 12 was frustrating, he doesn't get flop of the week. That honour this week, I'm afraid, goes to Jamal Lascelles, the Newcastle captain. Many people's way into the Newcastle defence, if you can't afford Trippier, will have been left very frustrated. On paper, a reasonable fixture away at Bournemouth, but 2 goals conceded and a yellow card. Jamal Lascelles with a 0-point return, and he gets Game Week 12's flop of the week. Okay, let's take a look now at a preview for Game Week 13. The deadline for this game week is Saturday, the 25th of November at 11 a.m. UK time. And that is 90 minutes before kickoff of the first fixture of the game week, and that is a big one. Manchester City at home against Liverpool. Then we've got Burnley against West Ham, Luton at home to Palace, Newcastle versus Chelsea, Nottingham Forest versus Brighton, Sheffield United take on Bournemouth, and Brentford host Arsenal. And then on Sunday, Spurs are at home to Aston Villa, Everton at home to Manchester United, and Monday Night Football rounds off Game Week 13 with Fulham hosting Wolves. It's quite an interesting game week, as there aren't too many fixtures that really stand out as fantastic ones for FPL managers to target. Also, quite a few of the weaker sides on paper, at least in the Premier League, all seem to be at home and don't have too bad a fixture. So there aren't really any games out there that you think there are loads of points up for grabs and matches that are there for the taking. I'm looking at teams like Sheffield United, who are at home to Bournemouth. Sheffield United, normally a side that most managers would be targeting, getting lots and lots of points. However, Bournemouth, not particularly strong away from home. Having said that, they are improving and Dominic Solanke could be an option there. We've got Nottingham Forest at home against Brighton. Perhaps you'd think Brighton's leaky defence could be targeted as they head up for a long trip up to the City ground. And a lot of the stronger sides have difficult fixtures as well. City and Liverpool facing off against one another. Newcastle and Chelsea, two sides that will no doubt be battling it out for a top four or five place come the end of the season. And the same could be said, I suppose, for Spurs and Aston Villa. They face off against one another as well. When looking at some specific FPL options, we could start with Arsenal's fixture away at Brentford. And Saka looks like the preferred attacking option across that Arsenal front three for FPL returns. And Martinelli is statistically a far better player with Jesus on the pitch, and he is back from injury as well. And sticking with that fixture, Brentford's Brian Bermo has been having a fantastic season so far. He's 23% owned in FPL, but that number is set to rise very, very quickly with a huge upturn in fixtures, starting with game week 14, where Brentford play Luton. However, many are thinking of bringing him in a week earlier than that, despite facing Arsenal, and that's really down to injury issues elsewhere in people's sides. The likes of Mitoma and Jarrod Bowen have huge question marks over their fitness in the short term, and so many are looking to make a switch, and Brian Bermo is definitely the number one choice to replace those two. He's got 74 points so far this season, 37 coming at home, 37 away from home. So an away fixture doesn't seem to trouble Bermo too much, although Arsenal do have one of the stronger defences in the league so far this season. Another midfield alternative could be Crystal Palace's Eze. Many had gone for him already due to a really nice run of fixtures. However, a couple of those have already been and gone now with Burnley and Everton. A couple of returns for Eze there. But the fixtures don't last forever. They've got Luton away this week, which is a fantastic fixture. Then they're away at West Ham, and then it's Bournemouth at home. So a nice little run still for Eze and Crystal Palace. Three good fixtures there where there is a good chance of returns, albeit two away from home. But if you do bring in Eze now, you'll have to bear in mind that from game week 16 onwards, it gets very, very tricky. And you could find that you've got 6.1 million tied up in a midfielder that you will almost certainly be benching. A very difficult run of fixtures for Palace from 16, Liverpool and City, before Brighton, Chelsea, Brentford and Arsenal. Not the best run of fixtures there. So if you bring in Eze, just remember it's probably going to be for the short term and then you'll have to deal with that situation in a couple of weeks' time. Everton facing Manchester United, another interesting fixture. I do think that this could be a little bit of a banana skin for Manchester United. Everton, recently struck with that 10-point deduction, has moved them into the relegation zone. Incredibly, they're actually still not bottom. That honour goes to Luton. 19th place is where Everton currently sit on 4 points. However, Everton have been improving both in terms of performance and results. Sean Dyche is starting to get a tune out of this Everton side. Now, Manchester United statistically are the most informed side in the Premier League, but stats can certainly be misleading, and I do think this is a good example of this. They haven't been playing actually particularly well, grinding out a few results and scraping a few victories against fairly weak sides. And so this could be one of those games where they get a little bit found out. Manchester United's attackers not freely scoring at the moment, so I would probably be steering clear of them in terms of FPL, and perhaps even some attacking options at Everton could be on the cards. So stay tuned for the differential section as there are a couple of Everton options featuring there. The City versus Liverpool fixture always feels like a slightly frustrating one for FPL managers. You always want your best players to be playing in kind fixtures as they're the ones that you're depending on. But then at the same time, the big players turn up in the big games. And we've seen already City scoring and getting FPL points returns in a difficult game away at Chelsea. 4 goals for them, 16-point return for Haaland last game week. And who's to say that we don't see big hauls from both the likes of Haaland and Salah? Both have decent pedigree for turning up in big games. So I wouldn't be put off from attacking options from either side, both teams capable of scoring, but I probably would be steering clear of defensive options for both, certainly for this week anyway. That, of course, is made a little bit more tricky by the fact that there are many Tsimikas owners who benched him last week, although that was purely down to the fact that they didn't think he would play, and then he obviously got that huge 15-point haul. That was, of course, against Brentford, however. Different kettle of fish facing off against this Manchester City attack. So whilst it's a fairly brave decision to bench a defender who's just returned 15 points, I do think it's probably the sensible play against a side like Manchester City who we expect to get goals no matter who they face. The question really becomes, do you think Tsimikas can get attacking returns in this game? But that feels like a little bit of a gamble. And if you do have the ability to bench him, I would probably go for that, depending, of course, on what defenders you have in your squads. And the other fixture worth mentioning briefly is Spurs versus Villa. This game is going to be really interesting. It's a battle of the high lines. Both teams like to push up. And I'm just imagining 20 outfield players, pretty much all stood on the halfway line, playing for 90 minutes. Who can beat the offside trap? Great for attackers with pace. So the likes of Son and Ollie Watkins, you can hope for some attacking returns. However, of course, we do have to bear in mind the lack of creativity in Spurs midfield without Madison does mean that Son becomes a slightly less attractive option. We know he is a great finisher. He's a midfielder playing out of position. If you've got him, I don't think it's an emergency to get rid of him just yet. I'd hold on, see how he performs over the next week or two still, and then reassess in a couple of weeks. Ollie Watkins owners, this is a really good fixture. Spurs do look a lot more suspect defensively. They had been fantastic up until the game against Chelsea, and obviously no Van de Ven, no Romero at the moment due to his suspension does make them look a lot weaker defensively. Destiny Udogie is back, so that will improve things in terms of how they set up defensively and their structure. And of course, Pedro Porro, whilst we're not too sure of his clean sheet potential at the moment, he is a great attacking option, and with no Madison, we'll expect to see him on quite a few set pieces as well. One final option I'm going to bring to your attention as a potential transfer in is Raheem Sterling at Chelsea. Both Sterling and Chelsea have been in good form, improving all the time under Pochettino. And whilst the fixtures don't look great in the short term for Chelsea, I know obviously they've got Newcastle this game week, followed by Brighton at home and Manchester United away, so they will definitely not be the easiest fixtures. They turn pretty good after that. Game week 16 onwards sees Chelsea face Everton, Sheffield United, Wolves, Palace, Luton and Fulham. So a really nice run of pretty kind fixtures for Chelsea. And many, I would imagine, at game week 16 onwards will be looking to bring in Chelsea defenders and attackers. So you could get ahead of the pack here by bringing Sterling in earlier, even though the fixtures aren't the kindest over the next three. There is, of course, still the potential for attacking returns. We saw them score 4 goals against Manchester City. So who's to say they can't get returns against the likes of Newcastle and Manchester United? Sterling feels like the most standout. Obviously, Cole Palmer has been doing very well and he's a great budget midfield option that enables lots of flexibility throughout the rest of your squad. But we're not too sure how sustainable those returns are going to be. He's got 4 penalties so far. in the last six games for Chelsea, and that's definitely not going to continue. So once we see a drop off there, we have to ask ourselves whether or not Cole Palmer is as essential as he looks at the moment. Sterling has been putting up better underlying stats, and I expect that to be more consistent than Cole Palmer over the coming game weeks. I currently have Palmer, and I'm very happy with him because of that flexibility that it affords me. But I do think that Sterling could be a player that people are sleeping on, and you could get ahead of the rest of the pack when people realise that from game week 16 onwards, Chelsea's fixture run is absolutely fantastic. Right, time now to look at some differentials for game week 13. And first up, we've got Ryan Aitnori at Wolves. 0.5% owned and 4.5 million is the cost for this Wolves defender. He's actually crept into the top 10 XGI, that's expected goal involvements, for defenders across the game. Now, he is looking pretty good going forward in an ever-improving Wolves side. And with limited clean sheets across the game, it does feel like budget defenders that are starting every week and looking decent going forward feel like the good, solid FPL picks. So my first differential pick this week is Ryan Aitnori. There is, of course, the potential for a clean sheet this game week. Wolves away at Fulham. Right, next up, we have Chris Wood at Nottingham Forest. He's 0.7% owned and 4.9 million. So a really good option if you're after a cheap third choice striker. Awonyi is injured long term, so Chris Wood does have the opportunity for a bit of a run in the side. And Forest fixtures aren't too bad either in the short term. The next few see them face Brighton, Everton, Fulham, Wolves, Spurs and Bournemouth. So there is definitely potential for some returns from Chris Wood, and at less than 1% owned, a great differential pick for your sides. And finally, my third differential option is Dominic Calvert-Lewin, 1.6% owned. The Everton striker is 5.8 million, so a little more pricey. If you're going for a 3-4-3 formation and you want to splash out a little more money on a third choice striker, then Everton's Dominic Calvert-Lewin could be the option. Form is improving as always, and Everton, as I said earlier, do have a point to prove. They've got Manchester United this week, potential for an upset there, and then they've got Nottingham Forest the week after. So if you want to go slightly different, a bit of a punt on perhaps a third choice striker in that 3-4-3 formation could be Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Right then, let's talk captaincy. Haaland versus Salah. That has been the question for captaincy so far this season. But Haaland and Salah face off against one another this week. I don't think there's a wrong or right answer here. You can pick either one. Both are expected to deliver, even in the big games and the difficult fixtures. So both are absolutely fine picks. I'd probably lean towards Haaland as Manchester City are at home. However, if you are in the market for perhaps a slightly more differential captaincy pick, Son and Watkins also face off against one another. But with that Highline derby that we mentioned earlier, there is the potential for either of these to get perhaps a bit of a haul and lots of attacking points returns. Out of the two, I'd probably lean slightly in favour of Son. And I know that is despite the absence of James Maddison. But I also think Spurs are at home. The style of play that they'll have will hopefully create lots of chances for him. And also, as a midfielder playing out of position, it's always nice to see the extra point for the goal and any clean sheet. So perhaps Son slightly favoured over Watkins. I believe that Son will probably be on penalties as well, although we haven't seen a penalty yet for Spurs, but he is the most likely penalty taker and takes them for his country as well. So maybe Son over Watkins if you want a differential captaincy choice. And finally, of course, you could go with Saka, who is away at Brentford. By no means an easy fixture, but you could, of course, go there as well. But I think for me, Haaland is the slightly preferred captaincy option this week. Nothing wrong with going with Salah as well. Those two feel like the standout captaincy choices once again. Just time now to have a quick look at my team ahead of game week 13. At the moment, I've gone with Areola in goal. He gets the nod ahead of Turner, who is at home against Brighton. I just think there's more chance of Brighton getting a goal against Forest than there is of Burnley scoring against West Ham. But to be perfectly honest with you, at the moment, it doesn't feel like there are many clean sheets coming anywhere. Speaking of which, my back three in defence will start with Pau Torres for Villa away at Spurs. That doesn't look particularly promising. Lascelles for Newcastle at home against Chelsea, and Gabriel away at Brentford. So I'm not looking at too many chances of clean sheets there. And that being said, I've left Tsimikas and Taylor on the bench. There is an argument to say that there aren't many chances of clean sheets at all across the board. So maybe I go with attacking return potential and perhaps Tsimikas comes in for Pau Torres or Lascelles. So that may still happen, but at the moment, I'm not going with that. I just feel like Manchester City could well end up with a bit of a haul against a not particularly strong Liverpool defence. But we'll see. We might get some leaked team news as well ahead of the deadline with that Manchester City-Liverpool fixture. So I might make a late switch and bring Tsimikas in. But at the moment, I'm taking my own advice and leaving him on the bench. A midfield five at the moment sees Salah away at City, Mitoma away at Forest. He is flagged with a 50% chance of playing. I have seen images of him back in training, but I'm not too certain if he's going to be fit enough to start for Brighton. And so there is the potential that I sell him, and I'll talk about that in a second. Son is at home against Villa, Cole Palmer away at Newcastle, and Saka away at Brentford completes my midfield five. And up front, I've got Ollie Watkins away at Spurs and Erling Haaland at home to Liverpool. Haaland is flagged, but by all accounts, he's going to be fit to start. And in such a big game, any slight chance of him playing, and I'm sure Pep will be relying on him. So he's got the captaincy armband at the moment. My bench sees Matt Turner in goal, Cameron Archer's first choice sub, second choice is Tsimikas at the moment, and third choice is Burnley's Taylor. There is, as I say, a small chance that I bring in Tsimikas, perhaps for a Lascelles, as I do expect Chelsea to score and I expect City to score. But who is more likely to get the attacking return? Is it Tsimikas or Lascelles? So there is a chance that I bring in Tsimikas there. Of course, that is a bit of a risk. Any defender facing Manchester City, if City score big, then Tsimikas could be in for a bit of a nightmare. So we'll have to wait and see. I do expect him to play, and there is a chance of an attacking return there. So Tsimikas might get moved up into the starting 11. Then turning to transfers. I've got two free transfers this game week and 0.8 in the bank. But I'm not too sure if I'm going to need all of that, because the main transfer I'm looking at is Mitoma out, Eze in. Now, many are going with Mbeumo this week, either to replace the question marks over both Jarrod Bowen or Mitoma. In my case, because I've got two free transfers, I like the idea of capitalising on this Luton fixture for Palace and then rolling the other transfer so I still have two next week and I can bring in Mbeumo for that Luton game the following week and not have to play him against Arsenal this week. And that still leaves me with another transfer, probably to address my defence. So at the moment, it looks like I'm going to go Eze in for Mitoma, and that will be probably just the 1 week punt. They do have another couple of good fixtures, Palace, but the run of fixtures for Brentford does look fantastic, and I know I'm going to be without Mbeumo, and he is going to be hugely owned from next week onwards for a great run of fixtures that starts with Luton at home. So I'll probably be making that move in game week 14, along with a second free transfer to improve that questionable defence of mine. So there you have it. That's my team ahead of game week 13. Once again, the deadline is Saturday, the 25th of November at 11 a.m. UK time. Good luck to everyone chasing a green arrow this week. Thank you very much for listening. My name is Andy Johnson. You can find me on Twitter or X at Andy J Audio and at One Stop FPL. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you again next week.